Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Good morning. Hello, I'm back. It's Scott on Radio 1, in for Chris this week. Well done to Jensen Button, can we just say? Didn't he do well?
He did do very well. What's he done again, Scott?
He's won the Formula 1. He's the world champion.
He is, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. You had to tell me that earlier.
I did, didn't I? Yeah, you weren't 100% sure what...
But I have been away.
That's true. But the clue is in world champion, as in most countries are aware of Formula One.
Anyway, so well done to Jensen. Let's not forget that Becky had a race with him earlier this year, didn't you?
She's kind of coached him.
Yeah.
Now, how do you feel now that he's the Formula One world champion?
Very proud.
No, when we remind you that you asked him this question... Did you used to drive a tractor to school? How does that make you feel today?
That was her motivational speech to him.
Anyway, well done, Jensen. Ray. Also, another question for you at this early stage in the morning on Monday.
Yeah.
If we put Becky in a helium balloon, do you think we'll get on the news?
I don't think it'll even leave the ground, let alone get in the news.
Yeah, Chris and the team are off all week somewhere. So it's us until 10 o'clock.
I'd like to try it.
What's Becky's forte? Can she lift off the ground? Radio 1 Podcasts. Right, contain your excitement, everybody. I have got a new book. Not coming out.
All right.
Who would read that?
So is that what you've been doing for the past week?
No, really not.
Right.
I've been sent this book.
Although having seen the title...
That was not... Like, I'm not going to call my autobiography that, if I ever did one. I got sent this book, because you get sent all sorts of stuff at Radio 1, don't you? It's really good. Now, check this out, please. This is a book. I don't know whether any of our listeners are aware of this. And the book is called It Looks Like A... And basically, it's a book full of pictures of things that look like, you know... Have a look.
That's very kindly. What do you think? Why do I have to have a look?
I just want you to see my new book. £8.99 worth of book, that is.
What?
£8.99 worth of books.
The cloud one.
That's they're good, aren't they?
That's an astonishing mushroom, that, isn't it?
Yeah. See, Becky loves it. Quite funny, isn't it?
And I wouldn't have thought that Junction 7 on the A4 to Slough West actually looks like a...
Now, see, is I was on the M4 yesterday and I went past that sign and I didn't think, well, that looks like a... But now I do, because it's on the front page of that book. The turning for Slough West.
I think it's more yours, Becky. There you go.
But you wouldn't ever buy that book for yourself, would you?
I'm not sure I'd buy it for anybody, really.
Well, not even at Christmas.
No.
Because it is one of those books that are on display. You know, like at this time of year, it starts to happen.
I'm going to have to put it away.
Just as you're about to... You know, you've bought a book already and you're about to pay and you're queuing up and there's a bit of a queue. And then they lay all those books out, don't they, right next to the cashier people. And they're like, oh, actually, I'll get that for Nan for Christmas. She would love a book called It Looks Like a... Because it is that time of year when those books start appearing.
You'd buy that for your Nan, would you?
Well, both of them are dead, actually.
Well, are you sure about that? Because you often forget which grandparents are
alive. No, your granddad's still alive.
Yeah. Don't buy it for your granddad.
I don't think he wants that, no. But it is the kind of thing that you wouldn't buy for yourself.
Might not be alive for much longer if you're doing that on Christmas Day.
BBC Radio 1 Podcast.
Normally do this in the afternoons, but the PR4L this week, just after 7, is reading out the stuff that you've been sending in this week on email on Dear Scott. Anything you want to know, anything you want to say, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk is my email.
That emotional music that makes your hair stand on end, it's true.
Oh, this is what we're talking about from Before I Went Away. Yeah. X Factor.
What was wrong with her at the start there? Because she sounded a bit like Timmy Trendy.
That emotional music that makes your hair stand on end, it's true.
I think I've got a wrong setting on somewhere. Do excuse me.
Do you know what you're doing?
Oh, it's very technical, isn't it?
Put her on the Timmy Trendy setting by mistake.
Do you know what those buttons do over there that you just press?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't just press them and I know what they do.
Right.
Anyway, we're talking
Let's see if it worked.
Talking about the emotional
You're
music.
You're in a cave now, oh, no. Chappers.
What have you done to me?
Sorry. I'm just going to turn that off. Hang on. Let me switch it off. Good.
I want to be somewhere else. Sorry? No, I don't mean it like that. I mean, I want to have some weird effect on
you. You're not
me.
Enjoying this anymore. Are you resigning on air?
No. Have you got it fixed
now
yet?
Now the one that doesn't speak is... What are you doing now? Hello?
Hello. Oh, I'm still the same. That's a bit boring.
I want to be somewhere else.
It came out wrong. Chappers, are you still in your cave?
Hilarious.
I'm so sorry about this, listeners.
I'm the only one without anything now.
Yes, you are. How do I make you feel?
Very left out.
Right, okay, turn it off, please. Can we start this again?
Start again.
Okay, and now it's time for the Posh Radio 4 lady to read out your emails on Dear Scott.
That emotional music that makes your hair stand on end, it's true.
We're talking about the emotional music that they use on X Factor when they want to make you cry. Like this one. They do it every week and it just draws you in. You can't help but have a little sob.
Every Saturday, my wife's moustache stands on end like it's been rubbed with a balloon. Tim, off of Chorley.
Thanks, Tim. Have we just gone back to the 1970s? Take my wife.
No, I think, because he'd have said his mother-in-law, wouldn't he, if he'd have gone back to the 70s?
Oh, yeah, that's true. This is another one they use a lot.
You're through to the next round.
All these tracks I now have on my MP3 player because I can't feel emotion anymore without this music behind me in everyday situations. Like if the newsagent hadn't got my favourite magazine. Just put this on. Makes everything a lot more of a drama. Do a good thing about Whitney Houston.
What's your favourite magazine?
Hmm?
What's your favourite magazine? Anyhow, back to
Love It.
I'll come back to that. Love It is good. Do you like Love It?
Mm.
I like Heat now, but Love It, I think.
Okay,
right. Anyway. Good thing about Whitney Houston this week.
Mm.
When her strap came off. No.
When she needed a Judy Finnegan.
Yeah. Love the look on her face. A bit uncomfortable after that, wasn't it?
It was, really, yeah.
Yeah. Poor Dermot.
When Dermot came on, it was as if she didn't know he was the presenter, and she was quite surprised. She obviously thought he was the bloke to take her microphone or do up her bra.
How are you?
And then he kissed her, and she looked at him like she'd just stepped in him.
Didn't know what was going on.
No.
Well, she only looked at him once. The rest of the time, just kind of looked at the floor.
Yeah.
I found.
But Clive Davis gave him a big thumbs up.
Yeah, so he was there with his thumbs aloft again.
What more could you ask for?
Most people probably don't know who Clive Davis is who are watching it. It's just some old bloke lifting his thumbs up every now and again. Sat next to Simon. I just think that she was exhausted after the performance.
Took a lot out of her.
Well, she had to go down the stairs really slowly and then dance around for 2 minutes. Looked like she'd run a race at the end, didn't it? She just got over the finish line. Mm. Bit hot, wasn't she?
Mm.
I did like about her, though, was that she was really honest. You know, normally when they have people on, like, I think they had Mariah on last year, didn't they? And they're like, I just think they're all amazing, you know? Like, they've all got such bright futures ahead of them. Didn't get that so much with Whitney.
She tended to think they were all dreadful.
Well, here's what she said.
Whitney, what did you make of our contestants?
I thought that they were... let me put this really good. So that, they're young.
Uh-huh.
They have a lot of room to grow.
Uh-huh.
Like Clive told me, practice.
Right, and that's a bit where he puts his thumbs up again.
Mm. Clive said practice in a very breathy way, didn't he?
Practice. Now, when I went to X Factor, I was lucky enough to go last year. That staircase isn't that long.
Isn't it?
No, she was knackered, wasn't she? Mm. Anyway.
What were you doing going down that staircase?
Yeah, why were you going down the stairs? What did you do? I didn't...
In a rehearsal, did you pretend you were like Whitney Houston?
Dermot let me walk down the stairs.
Did he?
Yeah. No, he didn't. Anyway, it just doesn't look that big when you see it. But no, she didn't hold back, did she? Which I quite like. She basically is saying that they're all rubbish, if you read between the lines.
But young.
But they're young and just practice a lot. Next!
Hi, Scotty and all.
Hello. Sorry, God, I did a Whitney Houston, didn't I? Oh, I don't know where I am.
I was at the Arsenal versus Blackburn game the other week, and as a Blackburn player was just about to take a throw-in, a bloke a couple of rows in front of me shouted, "Duf, smell my cheese," to him.
Now, I like this a lot. This is off of our game from a while ago with top DJ Bob Sinclair. Yeah.
Hello, I'm Bob Sinclair, and smell my cheese.
Obviously, that game really did have an effect on the supporters.
Okay.
Because
then what? It's never wise to shout stuff when you're in the crowd at El Hadj Diouf, though.
Why?
Well, because in the past he has got into trouble for gobbing at people.
Oh. See, I was going to ask if we could encourage that, not just at that particular match. Right.
Do you reckon this could catch on, or will I be evicted from the ground if I try the same thing this weekend?
You can't.
Darren.
No, I'd like you to try it, Darren. Just shout, smell my cheese!
You
doesn't
can't
matter.
Go to a football match and start playing the smell my cheese game. What, has he got a lump of brie in his bag?
No, you just need to shout the phrase, smell my cheese. Would that work?
And not even actually play the game? That's rubbish. Lure him off the pitch and then there's no cheese.
Oi, smell my cheese. I like it. Could you please do that this weekend? And could you try and get near the microphone as well so we can hear it on, like, match
what,
of the
near
day?
The pitch mics?
Yeah. Right. How do you find them, please?
What do you mean, how do you find them?
Well, how do you know you're near a microphone at a match?
Well, they're about 5 foot long and fluffy. You can't miss them.
All right, so they're quite obvious.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, get near the mic and shout, smell my cheese. There's always... I've noticed this. There's always one fan that you can hear louder than all the rest, isn't there?
Right!
Bit annoying. Anyway, next.
Hey, Scott. Please could you tell me the name of the song which says, time after time I tell myself I got nothing to lose. Love the show. You are great. Emily in Chester, XXX.
Hi, Emily. It's this track by Duck Sauce. I told myself I've got nothing to lose. For ages, Zane's been playing this for a long time, for months now. For a while, we did think it was time after time I poo myself. And we do actually sing that every time it comes on. Time after time. Listen. I told myself I've got nothing to lose. It does sound like that. Time after time. Yeah, but it's not.
We
that.
Don't all sing that.
Well, me and Becky do every time. I poo myself. It does sound like that.
It does.
Should
yeah.
I not have said that on the radio?
No.
Okay. It's Duck Sauce anyway, Emily. Next, please.
Dear Scott, Becky, Chappers, the one who doesn't speak, and the PR4L. I was listening to the podcast today and heard Scott sounding desperate and looking for a mention from Tim Minchin.
This is our friend Tim Minchin, who was on with Moyles last week. We've had him in on this show before, and he's a very funny man, doing a tour at the moment. And when he came in, he did a song about me.
Milsey. No, that's not. Da, 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 dee, dee, da. Milsey, Milsey, moves me and thrills me, always fulfills me, though it sucks when he bills me. Oh, Scott.
I was very touched by that.
Well, you should have been in Perth Concert Hall at the Encore last Thursday, Milsey.
Oh, did he do it?
How excited you are.
He was asking for requests
yes.
when from the balcony came a drunken yell of Scott Mills.
Yes!
Was that you?
No, I wasn't in Perth. I was away.
I believed we were to be treated to the masterpiece that was the Scott Mills song.
Oh, I'm so pleased.
Unfortunately, this was not the case. The song he played was, admittedly, fantastic. But I do know how disappointed you will be to hear that it came so close to him playing it and didn't.
What? So Tim Minchin says, who wants a request? Somebody shouts out clearly, very audibly, Scott Mills, and he ignores you. Well, I thought he was my friend.
Won't talk to him again, will you?
Well, I probably will.
But Scott, you still got a mention, so you are lucky in that respect. Tongue sticking out, smiley. Lots of love, Becky, off of Perth.
So I got a mention by a drunk bloke.
Not by Tim. Got to take what you can get, haven't you?
Yeah. We like Tim Minchin very much. I just wish that he would listen to people's requests a bit more, that's all. Anything else you want to say to us or know from us, send an email and the PR4L will read them out. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. We can do it all this week, so send them in, yeah?
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
This is the Chris Moore Show with Scott Mills. They're off on their holidays this week, going somewhere nice. And they're back next Monday. Tonight on Radio 1, after Zane Lowe, it's Radio 1 Stories.
Mm-hmm.
This is really good. It's the start of a new series, and it's the story of the noughties, starting tonight, after Zane, at 9 o'clock. This is going to be so good. It's a series about this decade.
Right,
now,
yeah.
The noughties.
Yeah, I got that from the title. Where's it starting then?
Starting in 2000.
No.
Tonight at 9 o'clock. And then next week, it'll be...
Let me guess. 2001?
Yes.
Wow, bang the on. Series is going to be like on forever, isn't it?
And then the week after...
Nine weeks.
9 weeks.
Week three will be 2002.
Yeah, all right.
And so on. And it's going to be the story...
Ten weeks, actually.
Think about it.
Is it timed so that the last one will happen just before the new year? Or have they not thought about it that much?
It doesn't matter. Just listen tonight at 9 o'clock. Doesn't, like, don't worry about that, okay?
Are they going to have to repeat it all next year?
Hmm?
Are they going to have to repeat it all next year? Or does 2010 not count as a new
year? I think they're going to repeat it over Christmas.
Right, okay.
Anyway, like, who cares about that? It's miles away. Just think about tonight at 9 o'clock, okay?
Right.
The story of the noughties. They take you through all the stories of the year, all the music, everything good that happened in that year will be on. It's the year 2000 tonight. What are the next ones called? The next decade? What's that?
The tens? 2010s? I don't know.
The tens?
The teens? The 2010 and teens?
Can you look that up, please?
The 2010 and teens?
Go on, then. What do you think they should
be? Well, no, I don't know.
At least I had a guess.
You did. That's very true.
You had a try, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's the main thing. You had
nobody can criticise you if you try.
Apart from
Is it the tens, then, is it?
I've never. The 2010s and teens?
Oh, let's just worry about it soon.
Let's worry about it when we get to 2019.
Yeah.
And we look back at that decade.
I doubt we'll be on here by then.
I'm fairly confident in that. Mm.
Anyway, we're going to play one of our favourite songs now from 2000. And this is a song that was on X Factor this weekend.
Is it a Clive Davis song?
No.
Was he involved?
I don't know. Clive, if you're listening, if you were involved, put your thumbs in the air really slowly now. No, he wasn't.
Right.
No. It was sung by John and Edward, this song from 2000. And their performance of this was one of the most... What word am I looking for?
I don't know. One that you probably can't say at this time in the morning.
Have I turned into Whitney Houston?
Yeah.
Well, they're young, practice a lot. It was just weird. Listen to this. Now, some people I know think they are hilarious. Some people really hate them. And I know a lot of you, I do appreciate that a lot of you do not like them at all. But I'm in the hilarious camp. I think they're brilliant. No, I don't think they're brilliant. I just think they...
You think they're hilariously camp?
No, I just think they're funny.
I loved it when they did
dreadful.
The,
I know they're dreadful, but it's funny.
It's amazing, especially when they did the talky bit from the middle of this. Have you got that?
Wrong. Yes, I have. Listen to this.
This is brilliant.
Edward, before you go, I want to give you something. Oh, it's beautiful. But wait a minute. Isn't this? Yeah. Yes, it is. But I thought the old lady dropped it to the ocean yet. Well, Edward, I went down and got it for you.
Oh, you shouldn't have.
Shut up and go away, you annoying boys.
Sounds like it's just one person talking to themselves because they sound so similar.
My six-year-old thought they were hilarious. He spent the night in the shed.
I don't know, brilliant. I thought the old lady went dropped into the ocean at the end. Brilliant. I know that we're going to get loads of people saying that they're rubbish. I know, but it's funny. And think about this.
No, but it's not.
It's
too bad to be even funny.
Oh, just for a couple of weeks. Just let them be in, but please. I don't want them to win. I just want to see what they're going to do next week. And here's the thing. I'm not going to name any names. One of us in this room voted for them.
Wasn't me.
That's unfair, isn't it? Because now that just leaves me and the one that doesn't speak. So that's very unfair of you to actually say it wasn't me.
Just being honest.
I'll take the rap for various things, but I'm not
very
even
unfair,
being
I think.
Under suspicion for voting for those two clowns.
Well, one of us did, because it's very easy to... You can vote on red button now.
Well, at least that's more...
That makes it all right, then.
Yeah,
as long as you voted for them on the red button...
At least it's more anonymous than phoning up. You don't have to give your name then, do you? You just press your button and...
You'd have to give your name when you phone up. They don't sit there taking everyone's name when you vote. That would take ages.
It's not like when you ring up Crime Watch. Not that I've ever rung up Crime Watch.
How do you know? What happens? I don't think Dermot answers the phone and takes everyone's name. That would be a bit time-consuming.
BBC Radio 1 podcast.
And now, it's time for some misconnections. You know those ads that you see online or in newspapers? Where people see someone they fancy, like walking along or whatever, on a train. Don't say anything to them at the time, but then afterwards, have a little bit of thinking. Think, oh, actually, I really did fancy them. And then rather optimistically, they put an ad in the paper or online to try and find them, hoping that they'll get in touch. Some misconnections for you now. So you might have been spotted. If you're single at the moment, listen to these. Any one of them could be you.
Cute boy riding the Segway with the water pistol gun and aviators.
This is Reggie Yates reading out this week. What's a Segway?
I so want one of them.
Cute boy riding the Segway with the water pistol gun and aviators.
It's like a two-wheel thing that you stand up on and then just zoom about. It's really hard to describe. It's like two wheels and then a
platform
and then a handle and then you just stand up on it and kind of move about.
They're not like a shop mobility thing.
Yeah, but instead of sitting down, you stand up.
So it's shop mobility for younger people?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was listening to my iPod and felt a presence of someone coming behind me. Turning around to look, I saw the blur. You, 5'9", dark hair, aviator shades. The blur was due to the cataract in my left eye.
Oh, I was going to say, you wouldn't go passing a blur, would you?
The blur was due to the cataract in my left eye.
Because they're not fast enough, but it was a cataract. I get that now. So should I get one of these?
Definitely. It is so the best thing to have.
Is it?
Yeah.
You mean a Segway, not a cataract.
I don't want a cataract, really.
You were cruising pretty slow on your majestic white steed of coolness, and one-handed at that. Your other hand held tightly to a water pistol. We locked eyes as you drove by. You pulled your glasses down your nose and smiled at me. I'll never forget that look.
Right, imagine you...
How many hands has this person got? They're trying to balance on a Segway and holding a water pistol, but at the same time being able to pull their glasses down.
Imagine me, right, on my Segway. I'm stood there on the platform. I've got my aviators on and I have a water pistol. How cool do I look?
I think you'd be better off on a shop mobility.
As you cruised around the corner up past Pizza Hut, you opened fire at the two homeless men standing in front of the off-licence. You then put pedal to the metal and took off into the darkness. I yearn for you. I haven't seen any man command that sense of adrenaline in such a large crowd of people in a long time.
I like
what is Reggie doing?
I like Reggie reading them out a lot. Anyway, so if that's you, with the pistol and the aviators, squirting at people outside Pizza, maybe get in touch. What a catch. I want one now. Can we get
shot mobility or a Segway?
No, Segway.
If you had shot mobility, you'd look like Nan off Benidorm. She's quite orange too, isn't she?
I know who you mean now. I would not look like Nan off Benidorm.
You would.
No, I wouldn't. I don't want a shot mobility, I want a Segway. There's a difference.
I'll look into it today.
Thank you. All right, next. Here's the next misconnection. This could be you they're talking about.
To the juggler in Covent Garden.
Oh, okay. Do you think jugglers get much action with the chicks? Do you think they're popular?
I don't know.
Juggler, would you?
Well, it would depend on other things apart from how many balls you could throw up and down.
You juggle my heart on Wednesday afternoon. I can't stop thinking about you. The way you controlled those oranges in your big hands. Our eyes met and I swear, you nearly dropped one. I left as soon as you finished your act without giving you money. I didn't want to come across as desperate. But I'd love for you to juggle with me sometime. Get in touch.
Ah.
Reggie Stones made me feel really ill.
Get in touch.
So, on that description of that juggler, let's say that would you get in touch?
Probably not, no. If he was doing fire or something, maybe.
Yeah, and he nearly dropped
one. Oranges, yeah.
Okay.
Get in touch.
A few more misconnections a bit later on.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Oh, what's the curtis?
It's our game that we normally play at 5:30 in the afternoon, but now it's on at 8:24 on a Monday morning.
Oh, what's the curtis?
If you've not heard this before, where are you? We're on every day at 4 o'clock normally, on your way home. Three situations. All you've got to do is tell me what happens next. Play along on your way to work. 81199 to my text. Let me know your score. Cheers.
Oh, what's the curtis?
Becky versus Chappers. First one. You know Tulip Mazumna off the news?
Yeah.
Do you think she's got a filthy mind?
Do I think she's got a filthy mind?
She knows
I've
some
never
dirty
ever
jokes.
Thought about
yes.
it.
Yes.
You do?
Most news readers do, don't they?
Do you think?
Yeah, because they're all serious when they do the news and then secretly, I reckon.
Which news reader do you know that has a really filthy mind?
Well, I don't know it, but I think most news readers.
I reckon Fiona Bruce probably has.
I bet she knows some dirty jokes.
Yeah.
And about, I'll tell you who I think.
Who?
Natasha Kaplinsky.
Do you?
Definitely. Anyway, we played the spitting game with Tulip off the news earlier.
The what game?
The spitting game. We played Tulip some innuendo bingo.
Yeah.
While she's got a mouthful of water.
Right.
You know, because, like, sometimes when you hear innuendo bingo, if you've got a drink, you'll be...
yeah.
Right? My question to you today on, oh, what's occurring? How many clips of innuendo bingo could Tulip sit through before she spat out the water? Becky.
Three.
Shappers.
One.
Is one of them the Cliff Richard one?
Cliff Richard one?
No.
Is not featured
okay.
today.
Three, then.
Let's find out.
Oh, what's occurring?
Here's Tulip off the news playing the spitting game. How many clips of innuendo bingo can she sit through before the water comes out of her mouth? Hi, Tulip off the news.
Hello, Scott.
Now, what have you got there, please?
In front of me is a glass of water.
Now, I'd like you to put some of that in your mouth, OK? Right.
OK, here goes.
Prove it.
Oh, rude.
OK, good. Swallow that.
Swallow it.
Swallow it now.
Swallow it now.
OK. Mm. OK. Now what we're going to do is play some innuendo bingo.
OK.
Put some more water in your mouth. Let's see if you spit.
OK, more water's going in now.
Go. Here it is.
Mm.
So what is it about him that makes you think he was the greatest leader? When it comes to empires, does size matter? Was it because he had a really big one?
Oh, good.
Good in my mouth.
OK, next one.
Pretty heavy going from Gordon Brown. What do you make of that?
For length, I'd give it probably 9 out of 10.
Good in my mouth.
You're doing well.
You're listening to Drive Time here on BBC London 94.9, Monday to Friday, 5 to 7, London Stories and London Talking Points. What have you got there for us, Nicole?
Nick says, I'm baffled, Ed. I've lived in Ealing all my life and I've never seen a parakeet. Neither have I, might add. But in younger days, I saw a cockatoo on Hampstead Heath.
You're doing so well to keep that in.
Still in my mouth.
Still there. Next. This is from Reggie.
There is a lot of scantily clad ladies all asking to see you, Mr. K, so today could be a good day for fanage.
God.
I'm so good.
You're really good. Here's me interviewing Danny off McFly. Can you just confirm where you are at the moment?
I'm just coming out of Paul O'Grady.
Yes! Yes!
You've wet my skirt.
Eventually, four.
Oh! What's the curtis?
Four attempts. Becky gets the point.
It's a bit freakish, isn't it? How long she could keep that in her mouth for?
Well, filthy.
God.
Next one. You know Robbie Williams? How would you describe Robbie Williams in three words?
Wide-eyed man.
Okay, good. Becky?
Take that.
Cigarette. And party.
Yeah, that's four.
Oh. Anyway, we went to Stupid Street and we asked them to describe Robbie Williams in three words. Bearing in mind this is Stupid Street. What was the most popular answer?
Angels.
All right. Okay,
that doesn't really describe him, but I think they'll just say that because it'll be the first thing that comes into their heads.
Chappers?
Pie eating.
Is that two words, though?
That's
but they've
words.
Got to say it in three words, haven't they? So I'm just giving a phrase that will...
Oh.
Pie eating. Okay, let's find out.
Oh! What's occurring?
Here's the people of Stupid Street describing Robbie Williams in three words.
How would you describe Robbie Williams in three words?
I like him.
At least that's three.
I'm asking people to describe Robbie Williams in three words.
It's just a bit weird.
Robbie Williams. Crazy madman.
you describe Robbie Williams to me in three words?
Yes, haven't been very, very great. I think he should come back in the UK.
Can you describe Robbie Williams to me in three words?
I would say a tactical genius.
Three words.
I would say, why'd he bother coming back?
Five words.
Strange. Yeah, it's cool, let's say this. Can I go cool? Yeah, it's cool.
Cool.
A horse for one, Vin. I'm asking people today to describe Robbie Williams in three words.
Annoyingly rich, pompous, and, yeah, kind of weird, but good luck to him. I mean, you know, if you could do it, do it. I wouldn't be complaining myself.
At least 15.
Nah, I'm not a big fan myself.
Can you describe Robbie Williams to me in three words?
Hard, sexy, cool.
Oh,
she got that.
I liked her a lot.
Hard, sexy, cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a bit weird.
Well, you see, you could have had in there
cool
or weird,
right.
But you said pie eating and Becky said angel, so no points. Sorry.
Oh, what's occurring?
Last one. Did you hear Greg James's show on Friday? He's got a new game.
Okay.
It's called The Square. And it's in no way at all similar to The Cube.
Oh, I would hope not.
Which you may have seen on ITV1.
ITV1's lawyers would be on the phone immediately, I would have thought.
Now, what happens in this game, which is not like The Cube, The Square, it's simple tasks that you should be able to do. But because of the pressure, because you're in The Square, they get harder.
That sounds quite fresh and different.
Yeah. Now, there's a really nice guy called Tom on, and he was doing spelling. Okay. My question to you, how many of the words do you think Tom would be able to spell correctly? Bearing in mind, the pressure is really on because he is in The Square. Out of three.
Out of three, right.
How many words can he spell correctly?
Do you know what?
Pressure's on.
I think maybe none, because I just think the pressure of the square would be too much.
So you're saying zero?
No, zero, zero.
Becky?
I heard someone spelling in The Square earlier in the week as well, and they didn't do very well, so I'm going to say one.
Okay,
it's just too much.
It is.
Oh, what's occurring?
Three simple words spelled correctly, and you've beaten The Square. Spelling is easy, no? No. In The Square, nothing is easy.
Nothing's easy in The Square.
Why is he talking to himself? He asks himself a question and then answers it.
The first word is choice.
Say, first word is choice. Is he going to get it? Let's find out.
The first word is choice.
C-H-O-U-S-E.
Unfortunately, Tom, that is incorrect.
Right.
So I couldn't get choice, Tom, but remember the pressure's so on. You know, you sit here and think, I could spell choice, but could you in The Square? That's my question. Next.
The next one is sincerely.
Sincerely. Oh, I always had trouble with that one, to be honest.
More
the
than
next
choice.
One is sincerely, as in yours sincerely.
S-I-N-L-Y-E.
That's nowhere near, sadly.
No. I'm really bad at spelling.
Oh, it's not his forte, Tom.
M-Y-E.
Cemetery.
Do you think he's going to get this one?
My money's on no.
Cemetery.
S-Y-M-A-T-R-E-E.
Oh, see, it's The Square.
He's turned everything into a countdown conundrum.
Yeah. But then listen to this.
Sadly not, Tom.
Oh, no.
It was S-E-M-E-T-E-R-Y.
Oh, I got it wrong.
No, I don't think cemetery is with an S.
Sadly not, Tom.
Oh, no.
It was S-E-M-E-T-E-R-Y.
You see, that just proves to you that the pressure of The Square is too much because Greg is now spelling cemetery with an S.
Or what happens if you go to the UEA?
Well, yes. Hello, Norwich. So Becky gets the point there, which means it's... No. It's one, no, Chappers gets the point there, which means it's 1-1 today.
You've been affected by the square
as
God,
well. It's the pressure.
Don't count. Radio 1
Podcasts. Actually, I've got a little quiz for you here.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you what Robbie says in our big interview, because you've got to listen tomorrow night at 7.
Yeah.
And then you'll hear at 9 o'clock highlights of his live performance at the BBC Electric Proms.
Okay.
But I got some clips of the interview here I did. I want you to just guess the missing word.
Guess okay? the missing word?
All right.
Are you going to give me the answer?
Eventually, but
right,
you've got to guess
okay.
it first.
All right.
Okay, here it is.
I'd like to make...
What do you think?
I'd like to make...
That's not it's me letting one go during the interview. That's...
Was that when you went for your job here at Robbie's?
No. I'd like just to make... before.
you a quiche.
Pardon?
Make you a quiche.
I'd like to make...
Okay, let's find out.
I wasn't happy with my performance. I'd like to make that better, and I will at some point.
There we are.
Right, well, you didn't really give it me in context, did you? But
no.
Anyhow, go on then.
That's part of our interview tomorrow. Here's another bit. What's the missing word?
Go on. For me.
Again?
Go on. For me.
Flush that giant turd away for me.
Let's find out.
Go on. Frown for me.
Quite why it's so funny, though, frown is...
Well, because you can't.
I can.
You can't. That must have been why he's asked you that. Because you have no movement in your forehead.
Yes, I do. A little bit. Anyway.
Is that why he asked you to frown? Is that...
I don't know. He just wanted me to frown randomly and then laughed.
Well, because you can't, can you?
I can.
You can't.
Yes, I can, look.
You can't.
I can.
You can't. Nothing moves.
Why is this so funny? Next one.
How old are you now?
You'll have to listen to that interview because I don't have the answer to that one right now.
Don't you? Can you not remember what you made up?
I don't have it right now. But you can listen to my Robbie
special.
If you
actually just went with 42, then you'd never forget, would you?
How old are you now?
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
And now it's time for Dear Scott, where the posh Radio 4 lady reads out the emails and stuff that you've been sending this week.
You look amazing.
Thank you. No, the moss clocks, they broke in the end. I had 5 at the other end of the room, so I had to get up and actually switch them off, remember? Right, here's the first one on Dear Scott this week.
Dear Scott and the team, I saw Gary Wilmot in Chicago recently.
Oh, Chicago. Yeah, loads of people do that, don't they? I know Kelly Osbourne did it. Duncan from Blue. The Hoff has done Chicago. Yeah, he has, yeah.
I was interested to know more about his career, so logged onto his official website, only to be saddened to read that he's missing a tablecloth.
So this is Gary Wilmot of Chicago, who appears to be missing a tablecloth.
Could you put an appeal out to your listeners? If anyone knows where the tablecloth is, can they reunite Gary with it? Thank you so much. Peter Bellamy from Crawley, West Sussex.
I think it's quite sweet that Peter's so concerned about the missing tablecloth.
I'm confused.
Why? No, we went to Gary's website.
Right.
And it's true, listen to this.
Have you seen Gary's tablecloth?
This is on his website.
Does missing a tablecloth mean something else?
No. This is absolutely true.
Well, you never know, do you?
Well, this is what it says on the website.
This is no ordinary cloth, and Gary really wants to find it.
Okay.
In the 50s, Harold Wilmot, lead singer of the 50s hit group The Southlanders, carried a tablecloth with him to every venue at which he appeared.
Oh, that's Gary's dad, you see.
He obtained the signatures of famous people on the cloth and would then embroider over the names, creating a permanent record in a most unique way.
Very unique way, I would say.
He's got a lot of time on his hands.
It's either unique or it isn't. It can't be very unique.
You hate that, don't you?
Yes,
very unique.
I like the voice you do when you get annoyed.
Sorry.
Though.
Right, anyhow, back to the
If we locked you in a room with someone going, very unique, very unique, very unique
that
all day.
You just speak like that all the time.
I don't like it.
I don't like it. Very unique.
Anyway, like, this is a serious...
Who is this Gary Wilmot anyway? Because I can see him in my...
You're like Doc Martin.
What does he do, though?
I'm like Doc Martin.
That's what it says on my piece of paper, given to me by the one that doesn't speak.
I've never seen Doc Martin.
Oh. He talks like that. A lot.
A lot.
Okay.
Very quickly.
Anyway, back to, like, I think we're forgetting how important this is. It's Gary Wilmot's dad's missing tablecloth.
The tablecloth reads like a roll of honour of the entertainment business, with names like Jimmy James, Eddie Reindeer, Tommy Trinder, Albert Modley, Richard Murdoch.
Not Tommy, not Timmy,
Timmy
Trendy.
Trendy.
No.
Tessie O'Shea, Ken Platt, Leslie Hutch Hutchinson, Arthur Downer, Reg Dixon, Valerie Gray, Joe Douglas, Jimmy Clitheroe, Max Miller, Mantovani, Bob Hope, Al McCogan, Benny Hill, Anne Shelton, Morecambe and Wise, Lita Rosa, Sid and Max Harrison, Ted Loon, and Frankie Vaughan.
I'm sorry, but... to all of those.
Where's Comedy Dave when you need him? He'll
know
all
of those.
Them, yeah.
And the only one I know is Richard Murdoch, because he used to work here producing Edith's show. Yeah.
No, I don't
you
think that's him on the
tablecloth.
You know
Morecambe and Wise.
Yeah.
Right.
And Richard Murdoch.
I quite like the bloke called Ted Loon.
Yeah.
Since inheriting this very special tablecloth, Gary has kept up the tradition, and some of the names he has added include Les Dawson, Engelbert Humperdinck, Tony Bennett, Milton Berle, Roy Hudd, Roger Miller, Jukes and Lee, Harry Secombe, Roy Kinnear, Jimmy Tarbuck, Jack Klugman, Martha Reeves, Michael Aspel, Norman Wisdom, Cliff Richard, etc.
Oh, know him.
The tablecloth has gone missing.
Yeah, we know that now. Oh, no, we've got a text. Saying it's from, well, I don't know whether it is, but it's saying that it's Gary's daughter, Katie Wilmot, saying the tablecloth's been missing for years. Help would be nice. We're trying to help here, Katie.
The tablecloth went missing possibly as far back as Gary's 1995/96 panto season in Birmingham, and he's very keen to recover it, as it has great sentimental value. If you can shed any light on this, please let Gary know.
He must have the world's biggest table.
It's a lot of names on there. Anyway, if you have seen Gary Wilmot's missing tablecloth, it's been missing maybe since his panto back in 95.
Does that mean nobody from the showbiz world has signed it since 1995?
No. Hence, we didn't know any of the names really on there.
Oh, God.
Apart from Cliff and Morecambe and Wise. I think the last person to sign it was Michael Aspel.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
And now some more missed connections. These are, people, you see these adverts all the time. People that maybe have seen you in the street and thought, whoa, I quite fancy them. Didn't say anything at the time. But now they're putting an advert in a paper or on the internet, trying to find that person and maybe find true love. Now, already today on Missed Connections, we've had these people.
Cute boy riding the Segway with the water pistol gun and aviators.
So that's somebody wearing some sunglasses on a Segway with a water pistol looking for love. And we've decided earlier I need to get one of these Segways in my life. If you don't know what it is, Becky, please explain.
Well, it's like a two-wheeled thing that you stand up on and just zoom about on.
It's not shop mobility.
No. If you type it into YouTube, you can see a chimp on one. That's really good.
That chimp's going quite fast as well. I didn't think they could go that fast.
So I think if you get a Segway, you've got to get a chimp as well. Just so that he can ride it when...
No, I just want a Segway and a water pistol. I can have so much fun. And also, we were talking about this misconnection earlier and where the jugglers get any hot chicks.
To the juggler. In Covent Garden.
Because people in bands, some really funny-looking people in bands, they get hot chicks all the time.
Like, who are you thinking of?
Can't think of any at the moment.
Can't you?
Who do you think? Who sprang to mind then?
Nobody sprang to mind, but you said it. So
what about you, Becky? Anyone spring to mind, like a funny-looking person in a band gets loads of hot chicks?
No.
There must be one.
No. I'm not going to take the... rap for something that you've said, which you now...
You obviously have
somebody
in mind,
Scott. You're now stuck
in a hole
and trying to dig yourself out by putting it onto me and Chappers. Who were you thinking of?
They know who they are.
Ooh.
Anyway. Time for some more misconnections now. This could be maybe your perfect relationship and you don't even know it yet. Here's some more of those ads.
You watered my flowers and stole my heart.
Oh, now this could be good.
Oh.
I looked out of my bedroom window on Tuesday night, and our eyes met. I was about to go to bed. You were weeing in my garden. You had the most beautiful face, until you saw me and screamed. You look like the kind of girl that I'll get along with.
Oh, that's beautiful. I wish he'd stop doing that get in touch thing. It's really freaking me out. That's nice, though, having a wee in someone's garden. Four.
But the way he reads them, you can actually... It sounds like Reggie has been in all of these situations at some point in his life.
Oh, we've all weed in someone's garden before, haven't we?
No. And I've never looked out of my window to see somebody weeing in my garden either.
Actually, yeah, that's true. It was on a Tuesday. I've not done it on a Tuesday before. That is weird. Anyway, yeah, get in touch if that's you. Another one here. Someone looking for real nice love.
Coffee shop love. I've never been spotted in one of these missed connections, but I think that's because I rarely go to Starbucks. That's where most of them seem to happen. So at the weekend, I went to Starbucks for a missed connection. Did anyone see me?
Oh, this is desperate.
Yeah, very.
You don't just go to Starbucks willy-nilly hoping to be spotted. Do you?
You go to Pound Stretcher.
Look, I just happened to be in Pound Stretcher yesterday because I needed some more things to hang my clothes on to dry. Yes, I was perusing the celebrity calendars. Yes, I did see the Simon Cowell unofficial calendar for 2010 with him just having a fag at some award ceremony. But I wasn't looking for love.
I was wearing a blue denim shirt, jeans and trainers. I have dark hair and was wearing a tie around my forehead like a headband.
Wow.
I did this so you'd remember me easily to describe me if I was your missed connection. I stayed there for roughly 4 hours on Sunday afternoon. If you spotted me, get in touch.
Becky has a problem here because she's been talking to Timmy Trendy about this double denim.
Especially if you're out looking for love in a coffee shop.
What, with a tie around your head?
Don't double denim
and
it.
And don't double denim it.
No.
That is not bang on trend.
No.
You're never going to find love with DD.
4 hours they sat there.
That is desperate.
That's a lot of people passing through.
It is.
And no
with
one
a tie
noticed
on your head.
Them.
Well, if anyone noticed that person in double denim with a tie on their head and fancies them, then maybe you could get in touch. I don't think that's very likely, though. Try again soon, maybe, without the tie and the double denim.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.